again.
Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, say, God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to have you in the middle of the week. Good to have all of our people here that's supposed to be here. By the way of announcements, Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Saturday, we'll be leaving for Brother Dutch's, and Brother David Gadman will be here. He said he would be in about Saturday afternoon sometime, 3 or 4 o'clock. We'll get in touch with some of you brothers and take care of him. But we'll be at Brother Dutch's Sunday, Lord willing, and we're leaving Sunday afternoon. We're going to Sugar Creek, Ohio for pastors and wives retreat for 3 or 4 days. And then we're heading on up to be with Brother Isaac and them in Ohio next weekend. And Brother Richard Douglas will be here that weekend. Also, a little bit of a change of plan, Brother David Gadman is coming in. I think I said, but we'll say it again. They're staying at the Choice Hotel in Gainesville, the one that used to be the Ramada Inn right there in downtown Gainesville. That's where they'll be staying. So if you get with them, you'll need to go to Gainesville, not to Commerce. But Brother Richard Douglas is staying in Commerce at the Holiday Inn Express, so as usual. So just keep us all in your prayers, traveling and moving about. So just remember that. We will not have foot washing and communion on the 3rd, because Brother Richard will be here. We will have it on the 10th. We'll have it on the 10th, May the 10th. That would be a Mother's Day. And also that day was why I announced that we'd have a meeting about the building, but we're going to postpone that to May the 24th. I didn't know that was Mother's Day. Mother's more important than anything, so we're moving it to May the 24th, and I hope that's not somebody's mother's birthday, but we're going to move it to May the 24th. So, so Brother Luis, you can go to okay.
I told him, and he said I'll pray
with him. Okay. So, hey, you don't have to go. It's okay. I know it's left up to you. You're not going that weekend, are you? You just switch it to May the 24th. No, okay.
He'll be gone by the 12th.
He'll be gone by then, okay. Yeah, Brother Donaldo will be here May the 6th. That's 2 Wednesdays from tonight. Brother Donaldo will be with us that Wednesday night. Sure do appreciate him. Appreciate his ministry. I wish he could speak English or I could speak Spanish. One of the two. We could talk a lot faster. But I sure do love the man. He's got a wonderful, wonderful spirit about him and a wonderful revelation of the message. And he knows where he's standing. And I love some people that know where they're standing. So if you got your Bibles, we'll turn to Revelation 6. We're going to be on the second seal, part 2. Excuse me. I know we all have needs and know somebody that's sick. And we sure do want to remember everybody in prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the night that you give us. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to be here one more time. Lord, to worship in spirit and truth. Because that's what you told the little woman at the well years ago. You said there'll come a day when you worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Well, today we're at that day, Father. And I pray that you'd be with us. Be with us further in this service. Give us revelation. Bless the little bride there in Ohio watching in, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them. Lord, bless all the ones that are heading toward the meeting or the pastor's retreat there on Monday from different parts of the country. Lord, be with each one, Lord. We need you more than anything in the world. And I pray that you would open your word to us as we open our heart to hear from you. Forgive us of our sins. Bless our day. Bless the many things, Lord. We got many blessings, Lord. But there's also many needs. So I pray all the needs, Lord, to be met, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 6, verse 3. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Now watch. I just caught this today. Now watch. You would think in the order of it, that Brother Donnie, he'd be given a sword first and then kill. That's not what it says. It was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. All right, we'll expound on that a little bit later, but Matthew 24, verse 6, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You may be seeing the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, this is Jesus telling them in Matthew that things are coming to pass, but they're not coming to an end. Well, now, you and I can't say that. Things are coming to pass and coming to the end now. We are at the end time. Wars and rumors of wars. I mean, man, look at it. The whole world's in turmoil. And listen, they're topsy-turvy, up and down. Stock market goes up 2,000 points, goes down 4,000 points. Oil goes up $2 a barrel and goes down $2 a barrel. There's just no stability, and we're paying for it. Man, I ain't never paid so much for coffee. I bought coffee the other day, $13 and something. Is that too, anybody know anything? Anybody got something cheaper? Didn't think so. I went to Aldi. Aldi's supposed to be some good cheap stuff. Regina? Where's my $7 Aldi coffee that you told us about years ago? Gone bye-bye, right? Well, it's $13 and something for coffee now. So, and it's like the, you know, you used to get a pint of ice cream. It ain't a pint no more. It costs you more, but it's like here. And that one can that I used to pour in my little thing and it would overflow and there'd be some left in the can for my decaffeinated coffee, it all fits in there now. So anyway, now let's get to the sermon. Bless your hearts. Forgive me for rambling there for a second. But remember, everything is tied together, especially now in the end time, man. Everything is tied together. Because everything that happens is just, it's not willy-nilly. It's not just, no. This is heading toward a point of the end time. A point. Not real wide, a point. We're heading to a place that this thing is going to be, there's going to be culmination of a lot of things. Especially number one is going to be the bride is going to be ejected out of here. But I want you to see something tonight. Now remember, he gets off one horse and he gets on another horse. So he gets off one power. He's rode that horse, got what he needed, and then he gets off that horse and gets on another horse. Well, that horse, of ever how you want to call it, that horse of iniquity or whatever you want to call it, that horse is still riding, and is still riding today because there's still iniquity, the Bible says, shall abound. All right? But I want you to realize something, that the opening of these seals, this is the Brother Dale quote from 1982, the opening of the seals will destroy false teaching in us by God's word. Amen. Okay, by God's word, the first seal, The mystery of iniquity has been revealed in us. Iniquity has been destroyed. If you believe, as we were talking about the other day, we're going to talk about it here in a second, just for a minute, for justification, that you must realize the real you didn't do it to begin with. That thing, that Holy Ghost inside of you never had a bad day, never began, never ended. It never cursed, it never lied, it never stole. That's why I can't see that thing was inside of me when I was doing all that bad stuff. Now, it was waiting. It was in God's mind. It was a seed. But that seed wasn't in my soul. That seed is the seed of eternal life. Now, we had representation, as Brother Ram said, that the woman at the well had representation. We had representation that, as I was speaking the other Sunday, that there's that point that we come to that God saw us, and we meet that point because he can't change his mind. All right, but he's got to see it first. Those who he foreknew, he did predetermine where to put you at, to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God, to hear something that'll spark something inside of you. All right, and that's very true. I understand that, but the word of God is a seed of God, and you receive the word of God, it's a seed. It's put in good ground finally. Okay? And then when it comes to you and bursts you into the body that makes you just as eternal as God is, it has nothing to do with your outside man, because we're living in a dual, as Paul says, the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God, because the life he lived before that didn't even know who the Son of God was. Don't tell me Paul had a seed of eternal life inside of him and he persecuted Christians. No. You can't tell me that. He had representation. He knew when he met Paul on that road, or Saul on the road to Damascus, what Saul's reaction was. Because remember, you're a free moral agent. Your reaction is going to tell you where you're going. The way you react, positive or negative. Because God's got every person in the whole world from Cain and Abel all the way, or from Adam and Eve all the way to now, God's going to tell them at the white throne judgment, I gave you a chance this day, because he's a just judge. He can't do as some people. I was reading, you got Calvinism, Arminianism, and all these different things, and I don't get muddled up with that, but because I know which one it is. Arminianism is over here where, kind of where we're at, and Calvinism is like, Ryan's going to make it because I decide Ryan's going to make it, and Regina ain't going to make it because I decide. Well, God ain't that way. You can't make God a judge if he's that way. He's a ruler. He's a dictator. But he's not. He gives everybody a chance, even the people. And I love this, what the prophet of God said, that the Indians, even that didn't even know anything about Jesus Christ, that God would, he would require their faith in their God, which they called him, higher power, son, the happy hunting ground and all that. But they're going to be judged, and God's going to say, you didn't live by your tribal. You were a renegade. You're going to hell. All right? Is everybody okay with that? But when we see this coming up in the seals, then we've got to see when this first seal comes to an end, our iniquity comes to an end in you, that is true justification. All right? And as Brother Dale always, he didn't always, he's what he said here in on the second seal on the first tape. He said, each seal ends revealing Christ and what he's doing at that time. So each seal at the end, when you see that seal end, you see the revelation of Jesus Christ, because he is the seventh seal. And that seal is what seals it, and then he begins to ride again, all right? So in other words, the white horse rode, white horse brought an antichrist spirit, the white horse brought iniquity, the white horse brought denomination, but what did the red horse bring? Death. I mean, I know death is later on because it's named death. We'll see that in the seals where it says now it's named death. It was death before, Brother Brown said, it just we couldn't name it. Now we can name it death. But it was death in the first church age to reject the word of God. In every age, you reject the word of God is death. So each seal ends, it reveals Christ, because what does it do? It reveals the iniquity that we had, and I hope we're getting rid of, by the opening of that seal. And then we need to go on to another level, or we need to go to sanctification. You can't just stay in justification all your life. You got to be cleaned up. What does the word sanctification means? Cleaned and set aside for service. You're not in service yet. God loves you. He appreciates you and all that, but you're still not bride. All right? A lot of people come to sanctification and get stuck there because of false teaching. False teachers say, well, just believe the message, and if you got a few chill bumps at the end of the service, then everything will be all right. But still, you've got that unclean spirit that's still coming back in and making you religious. All right? That's why you got to know that you know that you know that you're born again. All right? Checking up time. Time for all of us to check up. Even like what Brother Dale always said. He said, if I seek the new birth every day of my life, if I had it to begin with, I mean, if I had it when I got born again, I'm fine. But what if I got to a place of sanctification and some preacher says, well, you believe the message, don't you? Believe Brother Brown was a prophet, don't you? You got all this stuff in your house and you don't drink, smoke, and cuss. You come to church. That ain't it. That's one of those that Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, I never had an intimate relationship. We've got to make sure we're having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. An intimate relationship means that you are focused on one thing and one thing only. Intimate relationship is Jesus Christ. But now remember, Satan is there to tell you he's Christ. Because remember in Matthew 24:4, which is the first seal, just for a little bit of a background, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Right from the get-go. Right. Take heed no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Right. And he's been deceiving the whole time. Amen. And remember the symbols was white. It's a white righteous church. He had a bow with no arrows. It was an antichrist spirit. And then the Bible says, iniquity shall abound. The love of many will wax cold. So iniquity is what? It's a sin that you know you shouldn't have done and you do it anyway, or vice versa. All right, so we've covered that enough. But that sin is a hideous sin. That sin's a real bad one, okay? Because the problem is you can, if you don't, see, I realize when we look at these, when we see now that when that seal opens, number one, it's a spirit. It's a spirit that gets among the people. Amen. All right, it's not one person. It's a spirit that gets among the people. Now, what will raise up is one person, okay? And because that's what happened with the Pope. You got all those 300-something bishops that went to Nicaea. Then it got down to several hundred, and then it went back to Nicaea, and it was about 600 at 606. And then they got one man. Right. They elected a pope. Right. All right? So it's going to head up in one man because of what does our religion head up in? One man, Jesus Christ. Okay? He's just an antichrist. All right? And then when we come into the second seal, he's going to be the false prophet. In other words, he's going to be standing there speaking falsities, which is happening all the time. If we don't preach the truth, it's false. There's only two. You're either true or you're false. And you say, well, how can you hold it together? We can't hold it together. We have to depend on God to come and hold it together. We have to depend on God that if you're sitting in a crowd of people and somebody's preaching something, some little something tugs at your heart and says, that ain't right. I've done that several times. Sad to say, they're all in message churches. They weren't in Baptist churches. But it's those little doctrines that'll kill you. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's why we've got to get it right. That's why what Brother Donnie was saying Sunday about studying. You know, sometimes you want to study the whole time, but you can't do that. Drive yourself crazy. You still got to live your life. But still, you got to make sure, and you got to go over and over like a teacher would do. When a teacher come in, and we had a teacher named Doc Sis. I think Terrence may have had him, and he was perfection when it comes to math. He was a perfectionist, and that's what you got to be. Do you know in math, if you're off, do you ever watch the movie? What was it? Hidden Figures with the black sisters that they couldn't do it with a computer. But remember, what happened was she drew all that out, and there was one equation off. And that astronaut would have died if they'd have sent him up in space. One equation. She had a whole board. She had to get up on a ladder and write all the way across. But there was one equation off, and she went back and got it fixed. And then whoever that was, John Glenn or somebody, he said, well, I'll go now. He said, but I ain't going if that one equation's not right. Because if you come in at a different angle, into the atmosphere in a different angle, you'll die. You'll blow up, or you'll heat up, actually, and destroy. You got to come in at the right angle. Well, that's mathematics. So what I'm saying is Doc Sis didn't just sit down and read the newspaper and learn how to be a good mathematician. No, he did it every day. So that's what we've got to do. We got to study to show ourselves approved. We got to show, and it may be, I'm sorry, that sometimes it is a little dull when you have to go through the symbols and you have to go through to get everything in order. But once we get everything in order, it ought to be a beautiful picture. But it does take a long time to make a masterpiece. It took Michelangelo years and years and years to make that statue of Moses. He started out with the big chunks. But remember, that vision that he had of that square rock, or ever how it was a huge rock, maybe it'll have been square, but inside of that was always Moses. Before the foundation of the world, when God rolled it off the mountain and dropped it over there in Italy or wherever he got it from, Moses was inside that, because the sculptor finally got the vision. Same way with God, he's got the vision of the bride that he wanted. He's got the rock. He knows what he wants, and he starts chipping big things off. But now he's into the details. As we were talking the other day, he's into the veins and the eyes and the lips, and he's right down to the ears and everything. He's really shining, and that's what he's doing now. But see, remember, that's where a lot of people fall off. It's all right if you sit here and, you know, preach. Bless his heart. Poor Joel Osteen. Bless his heart. Bless his heart. He lost 15,000 members the other day. You start preaching on sin, you lose people. And that's horrible, but that's just the way it is. That's human nature. Because you got to do both. But I know sometimes it gets a little bit strung out, but the details is what we need so that, and Brother Dale was a master at it. Amen. He'd find a little piece that wasn't painted. He'd make sure he painted that one piece before he left. Absolutely. Every time he'd go back and he'd say, all right, get this. Brother Brown, remember they asked him, said, why are you doing it? He said, hold it before the people until they get it. Right. And that's what Brother Dale did, and that's what I try to do, try to be slower on the seals, because this is important. It's not just another. It's not just another sermon. It's not just another. It's not just another series. Right. Somebody has got to catch the revelation of this. Amen. Live it, breathe it, make it manifest. Right. And you can't do it if you don't study. Right. Amen. You can't do it if we got these little some of our own ideas. Okay. Have to get rid of some of our old ideas. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham had to get rid of some of his old ideas during the seals. Is that right? I'm fixing to read it again where Brother Branham said, I didn't know what the second seal was. I was going by old notes, and he changed the whole thing. Well, praise God, he was honest enough to say he was wrong. Okay? That's the hardest thing for people to do, is just admit they're wrong. But he said he was wrong. He said he'd have made a horrible mistake on that first seal if he just taught that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. Why? Because God said, this is it, prophet. I'm taking over. I'm going to make sure that you preach this right. Because I'm coming and telling you everything that might have been off just a little bit, I am coming to straighten it up. That's why Brother Branham, he said, I've never worked in a realm. Why? That realm was that Christ, God was right there with him. You can call him angel, Lord, whoever you want to call him. But he was right there beside William Branham because he said the angels met him every day. Every day, 7 days in a row, the angel met him and give him the revelation to the seals. Now, he didn't give him the revelation. He gave him the material to get to that revelation. Because you couldn't give him, you have to get a revelation from yourself. You have to get a revelation. I can't give you one. God can't give you one. You got to open your heart enough to where God can get in there, get all the bad stuff out, and then put his thoughts in there. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not his. His thoughts are higher than ours. But by the prophet of God, he told us we could go back into those thoughts. We could get into those thoughts. And if you get into the mind of God, that's perfect. You cannot make a mistake when you get into the mind of God. You're in his mind. All right? People want to go into outer space and want to go through all these things and want to go to wherever. Put me in the mind of God. I'll stay right here where it's safe, Brother Aaron. I'll stay right here where I can breathe. They can send them rockets up there all they want to. But right here, I want to get in the mind of God here. I ain't got to go build a rocket ship. I don't have to worry about altitude. And the only thing I got to worry about is attitude. Well, praise the Lord. So the word justified, we were talking about this from the first seal. Justified is you're innocent. You're faultless. You're guiltless. As Brother Ryan explained it, he said, it's not that you heard that I drank alcohol, but you found out that I didn't. He said, I never drank it to begin with. Right. I never did it. Use of him whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly conformed to what? Can I say the mind of God? The mind of God. The heart of God. The life of God. Only Christ truly. Approved of or acceptable of God. That's justified. That puts us just in his sight. Okay? Now we got to cover this right here because remember, this is in stages. The first stage is repentance toward God. That is salvation to begin with. Everybody with me? All right? I ask the Lord to forgive me. And I'm truly sorry. He knows that. And he wipes my slate clean. But see, in other teachings, and not here, but in other teachings, that you're done, you're saved. You know, you right hand of fellowship, and, you know, it's what the Baptists do, and the Methodists do it too, I guess. But, I mean, and then you can live any life you want to, but they'll put you in heaven. That's not the way it is. Now, a lot of people are being saved. They're getting their sins forgiven, and if they die in that condition, they'll go to heaven. But like I said before, they will not be bride. I want bride. I don't want to be just hanging on by my skin of my teeth. Amen. If you're born again in your soul today, you don't have to go by the skin of your teeth. You're already in. Right. Amen. You're part of the one that's just, Amen. Which makes you just. Amen. And it makes you where you can what? Stand as a judge in the end time and even stand as the Bible says, dare you take anybody to court. Right. He dared them to do it. Don't take anybody. Don't. Now listen, hold on. He wasn't talking about them people out yonder. Okay, somebody does you wrong out there, and if there's a law to cover it, take them to court. But if me and Brother Donnie's got a situation going on, we need to work it out. And if we can't work it out, we'll get the elders of the church, and we'll work it out. Right here. We ain't got to go out there and get some unregenerated lawyer to want all the money and drag it out and make more money. You ought to be able to settle it right here. Why? Because Paul made it very clear, because the saints will judge the earth. How can we not judge here? How are we going to judge there if we can't judge here? The first step is repentance toward God. Then follows water baptism. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now remember, water baptism doesn't save you. It is a act that happens because you've asked God to forgive you of your sins. Everybody with me? All right? So water baptism follows, showing that repentance was genuine. Okay? I believe there's many people that's not even going to church here that we baptized truly got delivered of their sins. But they didn't go on with God. You don't see them anymore. okay? This walk is a walk. When you start a walk with God, let me just put it plain. When you walk with God, you won't disappear.
Right. Yes.
Did everybody understand what I'm saying? Your walk with God is not you disappear 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, and then you come back and you're just as saved as you always were. No, somewhere in there you got lost.
Right.
Somewhere in there you didn't lose your salvation. You lost going to the next step.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
Okay? Or remit our past sins. That has nothing to do with future sin. It only remits. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission. Taking away of past sins has nothing to do with the future. Now, that's baby justification. That's when you first come from the world and you come and you give your heart to the Lord and you say, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did. I tell you, because that's what I did.
Right. Amen.
Somewhere you got to start there.
Right.
You can't just start with, all right, never mind. I was going to say, you got to have a confession. You got to be able to tell. Brother Brown said, if you don't, can't do nothing else, tell them how you got your fire lit.
Right.
Can you tell somebody, if somebody asks you, how'd you become a Christian? Well, I just started going to church. You're lost.
Right.
It's got to be as Keith Reed said, it's got to be an experience.
Right here,
an experience. That ain't nothing like he said, but it's pretty close. He would say amen anyway. He'd know where that was coming from. But it has to be an experience. You got to experience God. Not that you just got your sins chopped off and then you just continue on willy-nilly and don't come to church. No. If you're truly walking with God, you won't disappear. Even though you may backslide. Come on, somebody. Even though you may backslide. Even though you may do something totally just goofball. Come back here and let's talk about it.
No,
you don't have to come to me. Come to an elder. Come to a brother. Come to a minister. Sisters, go to a sister, but y'all need to come to a minister. Y'all need to come to a minister. Hello, I'm sorry. You can work yourself out some, but when it comes to salvation, you need to have a man. I know most of you say it in man. Some of you I don't understand, but... God's a man, okay? God's a man. So, and that ain't because I'm a man that makes me God. But it does make me in more of a line to be able to help you than it does a sister. Now, sisters can help. You don't understand what I'm saying? Y'all can get together and y'all can help each other and y'all can love on each other better than we can. But when it's come something to your life and your soul and something you're hurting with and all that, you need to come to somebody, a man. You need to come to not a brother. Now, don't be going to run off in the parking lot with another brother. And I don't mean run off. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean running here. I go again. Don't be running off, but I'm saying is don't get caught in the corner. I don't know why I'm saying this. Just don't get caught in the corner. If some sister wants to talk to you, you go get your husband or wife. Amen. Don't go in no room with a sister. I don't care if she's a born-again, baptized with the Holy Ghost saint.
Right.
Satan can always get involved.
Right.
So that's why that you won't ever see that door closed back there unless there's me and a man or me and a sister and another sister, my wife. Right? But that just keeps Satan from getting in. Okay? Does everybody understand that? I mean, I'm not saying sisters, you need each other. Y'all need each other because you can understand each other better than we can. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to your walk with God, you need help from a man. And I don't mean just me. I'm talking about any deacon. Grab a deacon sometime or grab another minister. You don't hurt my feelings. Somebody may help you better than I can. That's okay. It don't hurt my feelings none. Okay? We're just trying to get everything straightened out because we get everything straightened out, we'll get this thing going right, we'll get the seals open, and we'll get out of here.
Amen.
Okay? Just your sin has been chopped off what you did. Does everybody understand? When I came to the Lord, when I came here, I said, Lord, I know what I've done, you know what I've done, but you're fixing to not know what I've done. Because
right.
I'm fixing to give them to you.
Right.
And you said you'd put them somewhere you never remember again. But now remember, I didn't disappear. I came to church more. That's why the Bible says you got to come to church more as the day approaches. People don't understand that. That's why you got to, because you're showing your fruits. I mean, I'm sorry people stay out for headaches and stuffy noses. And good Lord. You'll be at work tomorrow, though, I promise you that. Preach, I believe it will. But that's the truth, I'm telling you. It's the truth. You can't repent for what Adam done. You never done it. Adam did it. You just get forgiveness for what you done. The old nature is still there. All right? But then, Brother Brown preached. This is 1956. Brother Brown's talking about it. He says, oh, bless your heart, brother. I appreciate you. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that has the everlasting life. He's answering a question. I'm the most miserable person I have to fight every day. Oh, yes, brother. It's where you're walking. That's all right. Then say, well, I want to go a little deeper. Amen? That's the people that are going to succeed that want more of God, not just be here. Move, move, move. You're the only person that knows you're going to move or not. You're the only person that knows whether you've moved or not. Amen? I'm glad I don't have discernment. Praise God. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. All right? She never done it in the first place. Now he's jumped to 1965. He's already preached the seals. He sees that the seals have opened to show us that we always was eternal. Amen. To show us that if we have the new birth in our soul, that we are just as righteous as God is. Right. All right? She never done it in the first place. Standing there married to the virtuous Son of God. Never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. What? Foreknowledge. Right. Listen, God knows whether you want it or not. Right. Kids, adults, God knows whether you want it or not. If you don't want it, God knows that. Amen. Okay? We just don't know it. They asked Brother Brown, said, well, Brother Adam, if God knows everything, why are you preaching? He said, because we don't know. And you don't know at the time, you're blinded. We're trying to get the blinders off the eyes of the people so they can understand they're lost. Right. Amen. You know what Brother Dale said? I'm seeking the new birth. He said, I'll do it till the day I pass away. He said, I'm not going to ever come to the day where I say, well, I got it, bless God, I'm done. No, you still got to dig. Right. I'd rather come to the end, as he said, and find out that I had it. Than the thought I did have it, and I didn't. Well, there's one thing for sure. He's at where he preached. Amen. There ain't no doubt. He is at the place that he preached about. Okay. All right, so we're here today, though. We're live. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. We can't keep moving. We can't stand still. We got to keep moving. She was trapped into it, and now when she heard the truth, now watch. When she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her. And she stands there virtuous, see, no sin on her at all. Now, see, that's the higher form of justification in the seals. That the real you never did it. You're just as righteous as God is. You're just as righteous as that white horse that he rides on. Not Satan. The horse that he rides on going into the millennium. You're going to be there on your white horse, but you don't need a horse. You're the power. You are the power of God. Brother Bram said, God is not complete without you. Now, that's what the prophet said. God is not complete without you. Okay? So let's pull the chart up just a minute because we're heading to the second seal. And let's get this going to the next. And again, I appreciate Brother Joe for doing that and making it look perfect instead of just lines being drawn. So now you got your combat beast, which is the lion, ox, man, and eagle. Now the first seal was that white horse rider, an antichrist spirit that finally come to a place that he was crowned. All right, now seal number one covers the first age, which was Paul Irenaeus Martin. Now remember, there's overlaps, because in the second age, they began to go, and they went to Nicaea, and they went to different places, and it started eroding, and it's like Brother Branham said, or let's see, he said, we're, oh, the same spirit that killed those 68 million Jews in that fourth church, that fourth age, I mean 68 million Jews, 68 million Christians, is the same spirit that comes all the way over here in this age and kills 144,000 while we're gone. Same Antichrist spirit, but that's what kills them. All right? What killed them to begin with? Doctrine. Religion. What's going to kill them over there? Doctrine and religion. Because they're going to turn against, they're literally going to turn against the Pope. And listen, the Pope can't do anything to them. Boy, talking about a mad fella. He won't be able to do anything. He's got all the power. He's the beast incarnate now. He can, the Bible said he can make wonders and all these things happen. But there's 144,000. That God's got, that the Bible even says fire would come out of their mouth. Now, you're talking about the two prophets, but I believe they take the revelation too, and they do the same thing. And they won't die until God, until that 1260 days is over with. Okay? So now when we come to the second seal, he gets off of that horse, and he gets on the red horse, starting from the third age, fourth, and part of the fifth. But remember, what was the fourth church age? The fourth church age is called the Dark Ages, because so many people died. 68 million Christians died from between the third, fourth, and fifth, but mainly in the fourth church age. That was the longest church age. Remember, it was like 1,500 years long. All right, but he rode through there. Brother Brown said he rode through that church age in the, on that red horse, and that was the blood of the martyrs. All right, so now you see true though. Now, if there's a false prophet, there's got to be a true prophet. All right, in sanctification, if he's got a red horse, then what is the most cleansing thing in religion, in our religion, the most cleansing thing is the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, that cleanses us from all sin. All right, so now we're going from a white righteous church, our sayings and deeds, and they got their pope, they got the hierarchy set up. But now what they're going to do is, instead of now killing them by denomination and by a false doctrine, they're going to literally kill them. The Bible even says in the book of Revelation, we'll read it when I get back, she's got a cup full of what? The blood of all the saints. That had to be a big cup because they killed 68 million of them. But remember, that had to happen because Jesus told them, talking of himself, he said the corn of wheat must die and go in the ground, right? And come back up on the day of Pentecost. But that group of people into the third church age had to start falling again, because there had to be, and just get me here for a second, something new was coming. Now, more revelation. But remember, over here, you had no printing presses. You had just a written word of God. But when you come over here and we get into the fifth age, which is the age of man, which is what? Intelligence. They started making printing presses. They started putting William Tyndale, the Tyndale Bible. They drug him through the streets and killed him. They drug him so far through the streets until he died, because he had no skin left on him. Just because he was putting a Bible together for us to read. Okay? That's why I like that Word of God ever true. It took all those ages to bring the Word of God here. It took people dying to bring it here so we can sit here today. I'm talking about people physically dying to get the word here, but it had to be, because that corn of wheat had to die and go in the ground again, and that fourth age had to go in the ground again so it could come back up in two shoots, which is what? Justification. On in the fifth church age, sixth would be sanctification, seventh would be the Holy Ghost. All right, everybody with me? Okay? So now, just leave that up there for just one second. And when he had opened the second seal, and the second beast said, come and see. Who's the second beast? The ox. You got it over there? Yeah, okay. All right, you got the ox. You notice I'm not pointing over there. You got the ox. Brother Louise, you'd be pointing over there. The ox anointing, and that's an ox anointing. And just to say you were a Christian, you died. Just to say you were a Christian, you died. So there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him. Now, Satan has no power unless it's permitted. So God permitted that power because he knew by foreknowledge that there'd be a group of people. That's why years and years and years ago, predestination just opened up, like I said before, right in the church here with Brother Harris preaching on something that didn't have to do anything with predestination. But I always wonder why God would let people like Adolf Hitler and different ones live. They had to come. They had to come to a place. The meanest man in the world had to come to a place to where God had to show him repentance at one moment. But remember, God knows who would and who wouldn't. He knew if he gave Adolf Hitler another million years, he'd never repent. See, that's the knowledge of God. That's putting no reservations on the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is, well, I'm going to let Adolf Hitler go for another million years. Well, he's never going to repent, so he's going to die. He's going to die right there in whatever it was, 1945. The power was given to the devil to take peace from the earth. Now, who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus Christ. So it was sent, that rider was sent to take the Prince of Peace from this earth. Took him out of the churches because the churches was doing all the killing and that they should kill one another. So it wasn't bad people killing good people. That's why I said, then he was given a great sword. So he was given a word, Brother Donnie, to continue on, because that word goes all the way to right here today. Amen. That same word that killed those 68 million Christians is the same word we got today. Now we've got plus. We've got plus, but the Bible's not different. The Bible's the same. Right. To take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Matthew 24:6, this is where Jesus is preaching the seals. He said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, there's never been a war fought that there was no bloodshed. Right. Never been a war. Now, I know we have cyber wars and all that, but you don't know all the people that die, you know, in between all that. Espionage and all that stuff. No, when you say war, that means somebody's going to die. Amen. Which is red. But now look, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Corn of wheat must fall, die, go in the ground. After Nicaea, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So the end wasn't here. We know the end is now, but the end wasn't there, because I believe if I was sitting in the Colosseum with about 200 or 300 Christians and I was getting ready to be eaten by the lions, I think that was the end of the world. This is it, guys. There's nothing else. I mean, this is it. No, it's not. That was just beginning the wars and rumors of wars. That was just bringing out the red horse. There was two more horses after that. Right. Or in other words, there was two more powers after that. Because remember, the black horse, that's the most intelligent, because that's man.
Right. Right.
All right? But the end is not yet, Jesus said. Now, the second seal, you can go ahead and take it down. I sure appreciate them doing that. I can't do it. I appreciate the support that everybody gives here. Tonight we're studying the second seal. For the first four seals, there's four horse riders. And I tell you today, something happened again. Now he's fixing to reiterate what happened that day, much less the day before. Something that I go and get the old script that I had that I talked on long ago, and I just sat down and I thought, well, I did the very best I could. And many writers and says, I thought I'll read a little while and look over and see this and that. And the first thing you know, something just happened. What happened? The angel came in the room. The angel came in the room. And it's altogether different. It just comes in different. Then I grab me a pencil right quick and start writing down just as fast as I can while, capital H, he's there. Okay? Oh, it's just something happened about a half hour ago. He keeps telling about that, but we'll continue on, save time. Now, see, Satan raises those up. Watch the shrewdness of this fellow that we're talking about here, Satan, where we're unfolding him right here, stripping him down by the scriptures and letting you see who he is. That's what's supposed to be done. And you remember, he has not tried to go in to be a communist. Because remember, Brother Brown, this is in the 60s. Everybody thought communism was going to rule the world and Russia and all these places. You know, this is right at 63. They hadn't had the nuclear scare yet, I don't think, with Castro yet. But it was close. It was in 1963, I believe it was. He's an antichrist. So close that Jesus said would deceive the very elect. And that's the one that's hid down in these seals whose names are on the book since the foundation of the world. That's why when the seal opens to you, it shows who you are. But it also shows where the devil's at. Amen. I hope we understood during those 12 or 13 or 14 that we did on the first seal that one thing we got to get rid of as Christians is iniquity. Amen. We got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of that doing stuff that we shouldn't do or not doing that we should do. And that's so simple as coming to church, reading your Bible, like I said before. We don't lag behind at the end of the race. You got to surge forward. I know it's a long race, but you know what? God knew it would be this long, and he knew that. That's why he let it go this long. To see who really knew was going to stay and who wasn't. We noticed in the breaking of the first seal, Satan had a super religious man. Did you notice that white horse rider? Which it was thought to be that was the early church going forth. But oh my, that's been taught through the years, but it couldn't be. Remember, they said it was the first early church with the Holy Ghost. Just watch when the rest of them, when we get them all tied together, look where it's at. I don't know what the rest of them's going to be as yet, but I know it's going to come just as perfectly in there. Because it's the truth. In other words, what is he saying? I didn't know what the first seal was. I do now. I didn't know what the second seal was. I do now. I don't know what the third seal was, but I will tomorrow, I believe. And then I'll know what the fourth seal is, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh. That was the hierarchy church of Rome, exactly. All right. The second beast was a calf-like beast. So come and see. Now watch. The lamb, you remember, has to open every seal. The beast didn't open the seal. The lamb opened the seal. The beast said, come and look at what's going on. Right. Led John out to the place to stand to look at what was going on, to look at the panoramic. All right? And that's what the Holy Ghost is doing to us, folks.
That's right. Amen.
That whole lion, ox, man, and eagle, that's the Holy Ghost inside of you.
Right.
That's leading you out, that pulls you out of the world and out of that darkness and says, hey, come and see.
Amen.
Every service, come and see. Every time you read the Bible, come and see. Every time you listen to a tape, come and see. Every time you sit down and fellowship with somebody, come and see.
Amen.
There's the opening of the seals. It's coming and seeing.
Amen.
If John would have said, be there tomorrow. No. When he said, come and see, John was commissioned to write what he saw, and he didn't want to miss what he was looking at.
Amen.
If we're commissioned to see, anyway. And the second beast, if you notice in the routine where we just went through with the church, ages, the same thing. First was a lion, the next was a calf or ox or something, you see. This beast said, come and see when the lamb opened the seal. And then John went to see. Now, what does John type? John types a bride. So all these seals, I hope you caught that. All these seals are saying, bride, come and see. Come and see this next step. Come and see what's going on. Because you know what? You only got two more before you don't come see no more. Everybody with me? Rapture takes place on the fourth seal. There's no more of combat beasts to say come and see. That fifth, sixth, and seventh seal is going to be inside of you. It's not anything external. It's going to be inside of you. Because remember, the fifth seal is what? Grace. Sixth seal is what? Tribulation. Seventh seal is Christ himself. We'll get to that later on. Amen? So bride, come and see. Come and see what's going on. But listen, we see the symbols, but it took a prophet to let that seal open so that he can walk us through every one of those seals.
Amen.
Tell us for sure that's an antichrist in the first church age. That was not Christ.
Right.
That white church might look good, but it was a devil.
Right.
Now he's on his red horse, and all he knows how to do is kill. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's all Satan wants to do. He's trying to build a kingdom, and he's killing everybody. He tries to get in his kingdom. When he walked in, what happened? Let's see what he found. Come see. There's a mystery sealed up here that's been here now for 2,000 years about. Let's see what it is now. We find here that he saw what? A red horse go forward. Now, to my understanding, this great sword that he had in his hand. Now, we got about three things to cover for the next 15, 20 minutes. Let's just read. And he reads the scripture. And there went out another horse that was red. First one's white. Power was given unto him to sit thereon to take peace from the earth. And they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. All right? Now, he was first called the Antichrist. The second stage, he's called the false prophet. So what's happening now, they're preaching in the churches and the synagogues the false doctrine that was the Antichrist spirit at one time. Now it's in a group of people and the Pope, and it's in a hierarchy, and they're preaching amongst the people. And the people have nothing to combat it with.
Yeah.
Talked to a man today. He said he was born, he was raised Catholic. Jeannie's new boyfriend. He's not Catholic now. Jeannie Webb, I saw his boyfriend. Her boyfriend. He's a good guy. But he said, I was Catholic. I didn't understand nothing. I just went.
Right.
Well, that's a good way to go to church. I hope y'all don't say that when you leave here. Maybe some of you do, but that's your fault, not mine.
Right.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He said, I didn't understand nothing. Didn't understand the language. He said, I just went there, and they did the little incense thing, and he said, did a couple of Hail Marys, and we went home. Now he's a Baptist, so he's kind of grown up a little bit now. So, but what power's in that? That's supposed to be the most powerful church on the earth. That's the Holy Roman Catholic Church. That's the most powerful church on the earth. It is the most powerful church on the earth. It ain't the bride. The bride's the most powerful bride on the earth.
Amen.
You remember the white horse now had no crown when he started, but then he was given a crown. He was a Nicolaitan spirit to begin with. And he became incarnate in a man. He was crowned and received a throne and was crowned. Now you see how he, in a prefigure, he represents, he's just like Jesus Christ, because remember, Jesus got a crown of thorns. But we're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
And he's going to ride on a white horse dipped in blood. His thigh dipped in blood wrote the word of God. And he's going to have a sharp what? Two-edged sword. So there's the real person.
Amen.
And then here over here we're talking about the anti-person.
Right.
That looks just the same.
Yes.
Now notice, let us now consider what John saw. Of these things what he saw. A red horse and his rider goes forth. Power given him to slay with a great sword. Now, here's my revelation. This is Satan again. So he's right. He knows he's on the right line. If it was the devil on the first horse, it's got to be the devil on the second horse, and the third, and the fourth. All right? It's the devil again in another form. Now, we know that seals pertain, as I said the other night. Trumpets pertain to civil war amongst the people or amongst nations. But you find out here that this man has a sword, so he pertains to church political war. Now, you might not think that, but just watch in a minute, just a few minutes. Notice the change of color of these horses. Same rider. Changes of color. And a horse is a beast. And the beast in the Bible, under a symbol, represents a power. So it's the same system riding on another color power from the innocent white to a bloody red. See, look, Satan's got so much control of the world now, he don't have to hide under a white righteous church.
Right. Right.
But he gets on his red horse, and he kills under Constantine and all the Christian crusades. So now he's really physically killing people under the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Literally killing them by the millions. Now look, when Satan, everybody that realizes Satan controls all political power of the world, he said so, Matthew 4. All the kingdoms belong to him. That's the reason they fight, war, and kill. Right. Now, remember, isn't that strange? They was given this sword to kill one another. Oh, my, notice. Now, when he did that, he did not have the ecclesiastical power yet. It was coming, but he didn't have it yet. But he started in with a demon of a false teaching, and that teaching became a doctrine. That doctrine became incarnate in a false prophet, and then he went just to the right place. He never went to Israel. He went to Rome, Nicaea, Rome. The council was held. That's where Nicaea is in Rome. Okay, everybody know that? The council was held, and they elected a head bishop. And then by doing this, they united church and state together. Then he dropped his bow. He didn't need it anymore. He didn't need to bluff people anymore. He had some of them. He had the hierarchy. He was just going to get rid of the Christians. That's what he was going to do. Then he dropped his bow. He got off his white horse. He got on his red horse. For he can kill anybody that don't agree with him. There's your seal. Oh my, same fella. Watch him go right on into eternity yonder with it. Unites both powers together. The same thing they're trying to do right now. Now watch. The natural first bride of the human race, this is Eve. Before her husband came to her, she fell from grace by listening to Satan's lie. All right? Way back then. After God had her fortified behind his word. If she'd have stayed behind the word, she'd have never fell. Now that's in the natural. Notice the natural woman. And what was the curse? The actual curse of coming out from behind God's word. You know the curse it represents, and I don't want to be graphic about it, but you sisters, when you go through your cycle, and that's what he said in sorrow, you'd bear children and all that way back yonder. What's that doing? That's cleaning you out. It's cleaning your womb. And what color is it? It's red. So that's what we need. We need red to clean our womb out here. We need sanctifying power to clear this thing out. This is the womb that Satan got to first. And that's what he's wanting to now. He's wanting to get to this womb now, the womb in your mind. But now remember, she believed 98% of it, but you just have to let one thing go. She believed a whole lot of it. It's like some of us. We believe a lot of it. But he didn't say we believed all of it. She said this, and Satan admit that's right. If he can just get you on one corner, that's all he wants. That's what I was saying. He gets you in one corner, one word off, he's got you whipped. Right. Only thing you have to do is give the bullet a little twist this way, and it'll miss the target. See, that's all. Now, she believed so much of it, but yet missed it. That's what sin is, right? Missed the mark. Now, the results, because she left the word for one little speck of a reason, what say now? What about the woman? Or why do you want to talk about something like that? But any of these little things, what's the difference whether it's initial evidence? He's talking about people out there. Well, it don't make no difference what we believe. What's the difference whether it's initial evidence? It's something to it. It's got to be straightened out. We presumed at it through seven church ages almost, but the hour has come when God speaks it. And he don't only speak it, but he shows it and vindicates it and proves it. That's right. If he doesn't do it, then it isn't God. That's all. God stands behind his word. Now this time, he's jumped up now to the spiritual woman, the bride of Christ. They started on the day of Pentecost with the early apostolic church, lost the same thing at Nicaea. Yeah, the real bride went to Nicaea. There's a lot of Brother Brown said prophets went there. And they got so carried away and caught up in the whatever that was going on till they accepted it and went on back. Wow. He said the true bride went to Nicaea. That didn't make them not bride, but it sure didn't knock them down where they got to go in the ground now. Lee, you know that. He's talking about Lee Vail. At the Nicene Council, when she swapped her spiritual birthright to take Constantine's big churches and things that he offered them there, she sold out her scriptural birthright for a bunch of Roman dogma. Now, that's hard on the Catholic, but the Protestants has done the same thing. They're represented in the Bible as the daughter of a harlot of a whore. That's exactly right. Every one of them, no excuse, but out of there has always been a little remnant right along that goes to make the bride. As bad and as ugly and as black as that dark age was, there was a bride inside of that age that believed that they believed their messenger. Columba was just a meek, mild man over there in Donegal, over there where Brother Quinn's at. And he lived a very pure life over there, and he had a message. And they believed that message, but they still died, but they still was a bride there in that age. All right, so let's look at the symbols real quick, and then we'll close. The second beast was an ox. The red horse signified blood or sanctification, if you look at it as on our side, cleaned and set aside for service. Now, don't get me wrong, but that had to happen to those Christians in that age. It had to. That's what the Bible said. Okay? But they give their life willingly. And remember, their testimony was so powerful to the Roman soldiers that were standing there watching them get eat up, would lay their spears down and walk in with them. Well, you know what they did? They got saved. Amen. They might not be bride, but they got saved.
Right. Amen. That's right.
They said, it looks real to me, it looks real to me. They said, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm not going to put another Christian in this Coliseum. I'm going in there with them. What a confession. God forgave them of their sins, took them to heaven. Everybody with me? All right? So power was given to this next horse rider to take peace and kill each other. And he was given a sword to do it by, because what it was a false word from a false prophet. But it was swallowed by everyone except the bride of that age. Today's the same identical thing. It's just even worse, because Christianity has spread all over the world. During that dark ages in the 1500s or wherever it was, probably close to, before 1500s, people didn't travel. They weren't missionaries like they are now. Because remember, the great missionary age is the next one coming up, the fifth church age, right? Ephesians 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yes. Hebrews, this is the Hebrew series, look. And you people with these saw blade tempers, that's always spouting off of the mouth at somebody, can't put up, and things like that. Be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother that's not right. Not just go around and tear it down. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him, kill his influence. Speak against your pastor, say something bad about him, you just might as well shot him. Yeah. Told something that wasn't right about him, whether it'll kill his influence with the people and things like that. And you're guilty of it, is what Jesus said. Right. In the Pergamene church age, Brother Ram said, look, already the Pergamene church age is the third age. Everybody with me? That's the ending of the lion anointing and starting into the red horse rider, all right? Already the false vine has turned loose its anger against the living God by killing the elect, even as did its forebear kill Cain, kill Abel. The true church kept trying to get the first church to repent. It would not do so. It increased in size and influence. It embarked upon a constant campaign to discredit the true seed. They claimed they and they alone were the true representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and vaunted the fact that they were the original church in Rome, and they alone were the first church. Indeed, they were. Thus, by the time of this third church age, which is Pergamos, we have two churches bearing the same name but have a bitter difference between them. One has departed from the truth, married idols, and no life in her. She's hybridized herself, and the signs of death, not life, follow in her wake. Because remember, the next horse rider is what? Black. All right, so he's heading into that blackness, and I'll read you the scripture where Jesus said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, what you got inside of you, you think's light. If it's darkness, how great is that darkness? Because that's the highest form of deception. She's powerful with many members. She's favored by the world. The other is a little persecuted group, but she follows the word. and the signs follow her. The sick are healed. The dead are raised. She's alive with the life and word of God. She loves not her life, but holds to his name and his faith, even unto death. So I'll make a few comments here that I wrote down. I was writing some things down. Now watch. What did they kill with? They killed with false doctrine at first. All right. Now they're killing. Now, and this is a quote from Brother Dale. He said, that same spirit's in the message now killing the influence of the people. That was in 1982. But that same spirit, they kill with false doctrine. The same spirit in the message is killing the influence of the true believers. Wow. Same spirit that killed 68 million in the dark ages will kill the 144,000 and some of us also. Wow. How about that? So the opening of the seals coming up through today will destroy false teaching in us by the word of God. The first seal revealed iniquity, and even the iniquity in us. Not the iniquity out there, the iniquity in us. So the second seal is going to show the bleeding word of God is what's cleaning us up. It killed 68 million Christians. But today, God's using that same thing on his side to clean us up. Because Satan wanted to kill physically. Listen, God wants to kill you spiritually. I said you, not that you, that you. Because if you're still alive, he can't be in you. That's why the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's talking about now. If you're not dead in Christ today, you are alive. And that old you, and I'll read scripture when we come back. It's like Paul said, the things I would not I do, the things I do not I would. All those things, he said, that thing rises up in me. That's even a born-again believer. That's a man that's a prophet. Wrote 80% of the New Testament. He said, I have a warring in my members. Now, he didn't have a warring in his soul. He had a warring in his memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. But look, he didn't have the seals to set him free. He had to die. To set him free from that first birth. But when the seals open here in the end time, there's going to be a group of people. It ain't going to be big, but there's going to be a group of people that's going to do the same thing while they're still alive. They're going to do what Paul couldn't do. Paul, when he said, we which are alive and remain, he was a we. When he died, he became a they. He was a we. We're a we. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those who are asleep. He became of those or them. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then he goes back to that we again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Let's stand to our feet. It's going to happen as sure as I'm standing here. If I didn't, I wouldn't be standing here. I believe there's a group of people that's going to be so washed by the water of the word till they will literally believe what the prophets already said, that you are virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Not a spot, not a wrinkle. If you will do the thing you're supposed to do, get in the message of the hour, get out of all that garbage. You know the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Pencil sharpening time, honing time. We have no excuse. Sure, we have young ones that start early and start down here and are trying to build, but you see people do that, and I'm sorry, I just don't understand how somebody comes in well, I do, because Satan will get involved. Come in with a zeal and then... First little thing will, feelings get hurt. I didn't care what Brother Dale said about me behind the pulpit. I wasn't leaving. Because I knew everything he said was going to help me. I hope y'all come to that point that you know that what I'm saying is going to try to help you. Amen. Not try to hurt you. It may hurt your outside feelings, but that inside man can't say anything, but that ain't nothing but the truth. That's why you have to have a dumb old shepherd that's just dumb enough to smell like all of you. Because the shepherd smells like the sheep. The sheep knows who he is by the smell. Our line. We smell the same. I stay out in the field with y'all long enough you smell like him. But the second seal, we're coming up to a few more things we need to cover. Like I said before, the first seal was kind of long because it's a foundation. We had to get all that foundation together. So it won't be just a couple more because I want to cover a little bit more about sanctification. Because remember, that sanctification is in a three-part order also, as justification was. Because remember, I can't pour that out, but justification was God picked you up. And if God picked you up, he got a purpose. And this thing could be dirty and muddy and filthy, but he's going to use you, but he's not going to use you like that. He's going to what? He's going to send the washing of the water of the word, and he's going to clean you up outside and inside. Clean you out. Pour in good, jump, you know, pour out bad, come bad comes out. Remember the pyramid, was Sister Shepherd had the dream where he was pouring pure water in, and there was sticks and rocks and all kind of stuff flowing out. What? That was the old her, even in her memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. That was the old her being pulled out or poured out. And then what happens is you've got a vessel that's cleaned up and ready to use, but it's empty. Now, an empty bottle don't do anything. Can't help you. But you fill it full of good water and then let him seal you in. That's some good water to drink, and he can't get out unless you take and drink of the fountain that God's give you that's flowing eternally. I watched a clip the other morning. It just blesses my heart. When you see a prostitute or a woman that was living, had five husbands and living with number six, that you might as well consider a prostitute. But, and Jesus said, give me a drink. Just give me a drink. All I want is a drink. And she's arguing with him. This well's deep. Jacob made this well. Jacob made it deep. You have nothing to draw with. He said, if I give you a drink, you won't ever ask for a drink again. See, now she's like, well, wait a minute. But what got her attention? Because remember, she goes to the dissertation. I'm a Samaritan. You're not supposed to talk to me. Jesus said, why you come out here? And there ain't nobody else out here. Well, you know what he's doing. He's discerning her. He knows why she comes out there, because she's... The other women don't want to have anything to do with her because she's unclean, okay? Just like we were. Amen. And she gets ready to move and turn, and she says something, and he says, yeah. Well, she says, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, that's true. He said, you got five, and he calls her and starts calling her name. Right. And she stops. Well, you know when she stops, you know what happens? There's something comes on that woman that had never been before. She knew she had met what her mama and daddy had taught her about in the synagogue, that there was coming a Messiah. And that Messiah would know the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And you know what that done? That converted her. I don't believe she went back, Brother Luis, and lived with that other man. I believe she got her life straightened up. She got her life straightened up, and then I believe she could have been an upper room subject, she could have been, but, you know, Brother Brown said eternal life, but she can't get eternal life in her soul before the Day of Pentecost, but it's a prefigure, or you know, it's telling them, like when Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, they didn't receive it right then. Brother Bram said that was a prefigure, showing that it was coming. Well, same way with her. She didn't receive the Holy Ghost right then. There's no way she could receive the new birth. Now, she did receive, she received something different than what she had. She confessed her sins. I'm living with, you know, I don't have no husbands. She left off one little part. But when Jesus filled that in, you know what? She didn't say, well, bless God, I ain't gonna have nothing more to do with you. No, she said, we heard the Messiah would do this. We heard God will send us a prophet in the end time. I'm talking about now. To get rid of our old husbands. To get rid of our old ways. And for us to throw down our water pot and head out and tell the people, come see a man that told me everything about me. Isn't this man the Messiah? Well, guess what? He was sitting on that well, but he's sitting in your heart now if you're born again. Doing the same thing. When you present the word to somebody and they receive the word of God, it's like that fresh water coming up out of that well. And all them husbands you were married to, pornography, drugs, alcohol, all those husbands you were married to in the world, they all died. And when they died, you can marry him. Because remember, she was living with number six. And as the preacher always says, she needed number seven. He was sitting there on that well of what? Of pure living water. He said, if you drink of this well, you'll never, ever thirst again. I believe she got a revelation after that. That he was talking about him. So let's draw from that living water. God's alive. He's ready to give us what we need. We don't need to go anywhere and travel to Mecca or go to this one or go over yonder, Jeffersonville. Right here where you're sitting today. Right here where you're standing today. You ask God, meet me at my well. Meet me at my well. I've got a well, Lord, that I'm getting water. I'm getting natural water, but I'm not getting spiritual water. Because remember, you'll never thirst again if you get that spiritual water. That's what I said. You don't have to worry about a Christian coming to church. A Christian will come to church. You don't have to worry about a Christian taking communion and foot washing. A Christian will. Praise the Lord. That's what the prophet said. That's what I said. It shouldn't make sense that if you're going to do what God said to do, then the world don't do it. I didn't do it before God was inside of me. Now he's inside of me. I want to do it. Because that thing inside of me is compelling, like that woman at the well. She was compelled to keep asking questions. Why didn't she just get mad at him and run off? But she did get ready to leave. And he said, oh, go bring your husband. Go bring your husband. Come here. She said, I don't have one. He said, you're right. The first one's name was this one. The second one's name was this one. And she knew right then she'd met somebody different. I hope we meet somebody different. I hope we meet somebody that fills our need and makes our well the sweetest water you can ever drink. Brother Brown asked that water, said, do you come up out of the ground so the deer can drink him? Said, no. Did you come out of the ground so I can drink him? He said, no. Said, well, what's going on? He said, I don't know, Brother Brown, but there's something behind me pushing. There's a pressure behind me pushing up out of the ground. Let's be that from now on. Let's be that. You know, Jesus Christ is a well of living water, but so are you. Yes. You are. Right. You're that person. Right. The world is hungry for somebody like you. We just got to keep trying to find those people. Because right. It's getting short. Time's getting real short. And I compel you. If you're not at the well, find you a well. Because where you're at the well, your master will be sitting there. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
There's never been a day like this day to me. There has never been a day like this day I see. There's never
to the town, she said that same thing. There's never never been a man that I met like this. Like this day I see there's never been a light that shines so bright this day. Sing it to him. Glory. This is the best time. It may be the darkest time, but it's the best time. The best time for the bride of Jesus Christ. Never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. And you're that light. You're the light of the world. A candle, you can't, you got, everybody's got a candle inside. Don't hold it back, let it out. The Bible says don't hide it under a bushel. Let that thing out. We've said for years, I want you to do that. Please let it out. Let it out and let God see. Let the world see that there's one last bride on the earth. There's not another characteristic of a bride ever anymore. The characteristic of this bride is we're going in a rapture. We're going to come to a place to where God said, I'm pleased to dwell. I finished. Your course is finished, Gentiles. I brought the last one in. Now I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to put you over in another dimension, and I'm going to keep you there. And I'm going to wipe this world off, and then you're going to come back in here and live 1,000 years. But that's not going to finish it. That's just going to get it started. That's just going to get it started. Because then God's going to wipe this earth off with his power. There won't be no demons. There won't be no cancer and all the different things that we call demons. We'll walk in that future home for an eternity. You say, well, what are we going to do? I don't care. Just try to get, just get there. I'm sure God's got an itinerary that's got eternal pages to it. Amen? Sometimes we can't understand what that, man, we're going to be 10 million years in a place and still we ain't even... See, that's why we can't fathom it. That's why we must be believers. We must believe that this is what's going to happen. But we must believe that we do what this says first. And then we'll get out of here. Amen? Pray for me and Sister June. Like I said, we'll be at Brother Dutch's this Sunday. Brother David Gavin will be here. Just pray for him, and then we'll be leaving, be gone all next week. Also, remember, tomorrow I'm going to the orthopedic surgeon about my knee. Just pray that she can give me something. But before she touches me, I want God to give me a new knee. You know, I was thinking the other day, now most of y'all weren't here, and I wasn't coming to church at the time, but T remembers, and Sister Lisa remembers, Brother Robert Tatum. Remember, he couldn't walk. He couldn't hardly walk. He had arthritis, you remember. He couldn't hardly walk. He was a deacon. He sat right over there, old gentleman, been in Brother Brown's meetings. Hands is all turned out like this. But he got a revelation that he was going to walk again. And before he passed away, him and Daddy, with Sunday between services or when they'd come to church, they'd walk that railroad track. Daddy and him were walking side by side. And him, he was probably 20 years older than Dad at the time. He was already in his 80s. But he walked again because God showed him that he would walk one more time. So God's a healing God. Circumstances, that's for the devil to figure out. God don't deal with circumstances. But just pray, Lord, that we'll get a report that we can deal with and not have to. It just hurts. It hurts at night now. So just pray for it. Just old age. June went yesterday and she got her a shot, and so she's good for a little while. So now that we get a little shot of faith, we'll be a lot better off. All right. So you love the Lord. Just pray for us. Like I said, we'll be back on the 4th. We'll be in Ohio with that group the next weekend, and Brother Richard Douglas will be here. And He'll be going to the regular hotel down here, down here at Commerce. So just keep us all in prayer. Let's sing that song one more time. We'll be dismissed. There's never been a day like this day to me.
Living in. Amen. I hope you come and came tonight and got your cup filled up. You know, studying through the seals, I've told people before, and not to talk too long, but you know, the Christian journey, you start off in this amazing grace. You walk with the Lord 10 years, you sing it again, and it's more amazing grace. And it just becomes more amazing, and that's the way the word should be in our life. I've heard the seals many times, but there's always just that little something that God gives you that continues on to help us to grow. Amen. Brother Anderson, would you come and dismiss this evening before we all depart our ways?
All the needs, Lord. They've been prayed for, Father. Some of them maybe we'll forget. Some of them are still in the believers' hearts, Lord. But you know each and every one of us, Father. We're grateful, Father, that we can gather together this time, Lord. And Father, prepare our hearts even for the service on Sunday with Brother David. I pray, Lord, that you anoint him, Lord. Incline our ears to hear your word. Prepare our hearts to receive it, Lord. As we go home, Father, pray you give us journey masses to take care of us on the roadways. Father, forgive us of all our sins. Forgive us of our iniquities, Lord.
Yes.
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' precious name, we believe and pray. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. There's an end.